Luke 19, I don't know about you, where you came from, but where I came from, church was something special. We didn't do it, but we honored it, and when I got saved, it became even more special, and church means a lot to me, and I don't know why you're here today, but I came to hear from the Lord, and faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. I can tell you a lot of stories. I got a lot of old stories. Some of y'all have them numbered. I've told them so many times. And did somebody say amen right there? We need to. Anyway. But those stories don't save you. They're not. Many a truth is said in jest. But that's not the truth you need. You need the truth of God's Word. Amen. Luke 19:10, the Bible says, if you have your Bible, Jesus is speaking. He's going through Jericho, I think, probably for the last time. And he says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." It didn't say he came to rescue starving people, though he did. It didn't say he came to heal sick people, though he did. It didn't say he came to straighten people out, though I think he did some of that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Today I want to ask you a question, and then I want to attempt to answer the question by the Bible. What does it mean when the Bible says they who are lost? When the Bible says we're lost, what does that mean? Now, there's different kinds of lost people physically. I thought of a couple of examples. There's a husband lost driving, and there's a wife lost driving. Those are two different kinds of lost people. A man caught on to it. A man lost driving will drive. And drive. And his pride's not going to let him admit he's lost. A woman driver lost will drive and realize she's lost. And she's not above realizing her husband's lost and telling him either, by the way. And she will stop and ask directions. That's two kinds of lost people. Amen, Brother Billy? Then there's another kind of lost driver. And that's usually me if I'm by myself. I'm lost driving, but I don't know it, and I keep on going. And going, and going, and going. And if my wife's in the car, hoping, Brother Billy, I see a familiar landscape, or at least name of a town or something, that I can get back on my path without consulting the other lost driver. I have a GPS on my phone. I hate my new phone. I hate all phones, but I hate this one. And it has a woman giving me directions. And I don't know how to change it like I did on that old-fashioned GPS you put on your dash where you can change it to an Australian man or anything. And I tell her all the time, I don't need you to correct me. I'm married. Amen. I take men visiting with me, and they'll tell me where to turn and all this stuff. I said, look, I don't need you to tell me how to drive. I got married a long time ago. I got somebody that tells me how to drive. But there's all kind of lost people. But in the Bible, when it talks about lost people, it talks about spiritually lost. The people that do not know the end destination. Y'all got it? Just like a lost driver. Spiritually, people do not know the end of it all. They do not know the end and what's beyond that of their life. They really don't even know where they're going through eternity. Now, they may know where they're going in school or in their career or on their job or in the group they travel in. But in the end, Brother David, they have no idea where the end is going to take them. That's spiritually lost. Now, you can be physically lost and not be spiritually lost. I know I can drive till I die and I'm going to end up in heaven. And I'll do that before I'll admit that I'm lost, by the way. So what does the Bible mean when Jesus himself said, I came to seek and to save those which are lost? Now, he was talking to the people who are lost. And they didn't even know that he was talking to them because they were lost. And the world we live in today is the same way. We talk to people who are spiritually lost and they don't even know they're lost. And so when we try to give direction, just like a wife telling a husband how to drive direction-wise, and they get mad at us.
Yeah. Amen.
I get mad at my wife every time she tells me that I'm lost and don't know where I'm going. I was the same way before I was saved. I didn't like you to tell me I was lost. I didn't want you to tell me I didn't know where I was going to end up. I was a smart fella. If you didn't believe it, you could ask me. I'd have told you. I was a smart fella, yeah. Amen. I knew where I was going, amen. But I really didn't know where I was going. And so the Bible has a lot of verses about spiritually lost. And I just want to show you the verses and let you make the determination, are you lost or not? Now, I don't like the GPS. It'll take you on dead-end roads. It'll take you on roads that's supposed to be there. They're not there. It is a help. If you're on the interstate, it's a great help. But I don't like it telling me where to go, because here's the way I look at GPS. It's not the final authority. There's about 15 ways to get everywhere. From here to my house, I could probably take you on at least 10 different ways to get to my house. But spiritually, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. So the Bible gives a clear definition of some lost people. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, I've got about 6 verses, and I'm not going to wait on you. 1 Timothy chapter 5, you catch up, okay? Just trust me, I have a King James Bible, and I'll read you the truth, but you go ahead and find it. 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you will. Look at verse 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Now, in the Bible, to be lost is to be without life, spiritual life. We're talking about eternal life. To be lost is to be without life. And it talks about a particular group of people here, a woman that's living in pleasure. You know, it's talking about sensual things, physical things. Because there's a person who lives that way, they're lost because they're never going to find the satisfaction they're looking for in another person. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And if you're over about 20 years old, you didn't figure that one out. But they're lost. They're without life. Now, look, when we were lost, those of us who are saved, lost means we don't know where to go or what to do, because dead people don't know where to go and what to do. Ephesians says, ye who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, we'll go out here to the Memorial Park. It's not far down the road. And we'll walk to any grave you want to and ask directions, and they don't have them. They're dead. We'll go down at Green Funeral Home or wherever you like to go, Wolf or White Cell, wherever you like to go, and look down that casket and say, fella, can you tell me how to get uptown? He's not going to tell you. He's dead. He has no life, so therefore, he can't point you to life. All he knows is dead. And the same way with people who know not Christ, they've never been born again, they can't point you to life, because they have no spiritual life. Now, because they're not in the grave, they can speak and see and hear. So they may have some ideas about spiritual life that they may point you to, but they only know dead things.
Amen.
They might say, well, you need to get baptized. Well, that's water, and that's a body. That's not life. They may say, well, you need to join this church or that church or this religion or that religion. Well, that's death. People who are spiritually dead, and they're pointing you to spirituality. So what kind of spirituality do you think they would point you to? Dead spirituality. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Profound but simple. So the Bible says that she is without life, who lives a life that she doesn't even know what life is. See. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 3 and 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But if our gospel be hid, the gospel, if you'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, it says, I came unto you and I preached unto you the gospel, which is the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The gospel is how we're saved. The gospel is how we get spiritual life. So, he says in verse 3, he says that, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are in whom the god of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So it means to see without sight or lack of vision. He said, if the gospel is hid, that's a lack of sight. Without vision, you can't see what you're looking at. If the gospel is hid, it's hidden to those who are lost. So what that means is, lost in this case means without vision or with lack of ability to see. It's hidden from them. Now, here's what you think, because it's your grandson, your granddaughter, your daughter, your son, your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your grandfather, grandmother. Here's what you think. They already see it. And they may not be seeing it. But you think, because you love them so much and they're so good to you, surely they see it. How many times you ever watch TV news? And this little brat, been raised a brat, he holds up a liquor store or something, and the first one they go to talk to is Grandma. Well, he's a good boy. He's always been a good boy. And then they talk to the neighbor, who the boy cut the grass because he needed a dollar or two every once in a while. And, oh, he's always been good to me. They're blind. They don't see what that boy is. It's hidden from them because they love him. And you're afraid to pressure those people that you love because you're afraid you're going to hurt their feelings or offend them because they already have sight and they don't. Amen. They don't have it.
Come on now.
And I say it over and over. God doesn't have any grandchildren.
That's right. Yeah.
All of God's children are adoptees. He adopts us into His family. If you was in Sunday school, you'd know what I'm fixing to say. He grafts us into the vine. He makes us part of the family of Abraham. Wasn't born with that right. Just because you see doesn't give your family, those people you love, the ability to see just because you love them.
Right.
Just because they were born in your family. Come on. That little boy right there needs to see for himself. You can't see for him. That little girl needs to see for herself. She needs to see for herself. All through this room, we have children and grandchildren that need to see for themselves. And just because you can see, you can't lead them to heaven by seeing for them. They're going to have to see it. And then when the pastor or evangelist gets up and he preaches hot and heavy and it hits your grandchildren, you get mad at the preacher. Well, don't be mad at the preacher because they're blind. Get mad at yourself. You're the one that keeps sheltering them in the blindness.
Come on, brother.
You're an enabler to their blindness. I don't like my grandchildren to cry. I don't like my children to cry. I hate it. I can't only stand it. I'm getting wimpy in my old age. Well, I can't hardly stand it. And I'll do anything to keep them from having to cry. But let me tell you something. If they're crying because God has revealed Himself to them and they're receiving their sight and they're weeping over their sins and their fallen condition, their blind condition, I say, amen, Lord, pour it on them. Pour it on them, Lord.
Yes.
I'll show you another one. Acts chapter 28. You still with me? Acts chapter 28. I'm talking about what blindness is in the Bible. Now, I'm nearsighted. I've been nearsighted. I got my first pair of glasses when I was a cute little boy in the fourth grade. And it was a revelation I'd never seen clearly. Never. Could never remember seeing clearly. I didn't know there was a horizon. I didn't know things were so green. I didn't know the sky was so blue. I didn't know there was more than the North Star. That's the only star I'd ever seen. I didn't know there was a man in the moon. I'd never seen him. Some of y'all don't know there's a man in the moon. I saw him last night when the moon was coming up. Did you see that big, beautiful moon coming up last night? I saw him. He used to have acne. I know he did because he's got little bumps all in his face. I know the man. Amen. Now look at me. Acts chapter 28. Look at verse 26. Saying, go unto this people and saying, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Oh my goodness. Verse 27. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Yes. Now, they have knowledge without understanding. I'm hotter. Y'all hot? We'll turn that thing down, leave that door open. It gets cold in that hall where the thermostat is. And tell them youngins to be quiet if we're not. No, I'm teasing. Look here. They have knowledge without understanding. Now let me warn you about something. He said they know the truth. They just don't want to see it. They've heard it. They don't like hearing it. So God gave them what they wanted. Blindness. Now they can't see it. Now that takes you to Romans chapter 1 where it talks about He gave them over to a reprobate mind because they knew the truth, they saw the truth, they'd heard the truth, but they refused to receive the truth, and God turned them over to a reprobate mind. That meaning they cannot now believe even if they sought it. They're not going to find it. That's going to be a tribulation period for everyone that's ever heard the gospel before. So you got this misunderstanding that you think because somebody dies and your loved one who refuses to see it goes to the funeral and some preacher preaches a very compassionate, moving sermon at that funeral and everybody cries and you think, boy, all my loved ones are going to get saved here. Not happening. Not happening. Just because they heard something that moved them, they had refused it when they heard it before, God may say, you're not hearing this. And I'm not going to let you see it. I gave you plenty of chances. You refused. But we don't like thinking that way because people we love may be in that position that they're blind and it is on purpose and God has turned them over to what they wanted. Blindness. You ever begin to talk to somebody about the Lord and they say, I don't want to hear that. You ever invited somebody to church and they say, I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear about all that stuff, dying and eternity and heaven and hell. I don't want to hear all that. I'm just going to eat and drink and be merry for tomorrow we die. And why should I worry about all that stuff before it's time to die? Well, you better worry about it while he's calling because he may quit calling. And while you see it, because he may turn you over to the blindness that you love. Also, a lot of young people are in this position. A lot of young people. You think because they've heard it and they're in church with you or Sunday school that they've received it and they see it and they don't. But you just assume because they're your children, your grandchildren, your loved one, they go to church with you, you assume that they've received their sight, but hey, wait till they're about 20 and I'll show you whether or not they've received their sight.
Amen.
I've youth pastored in 3 churches and I'm probably all together about 16, 18 years, I don't know, took kids to camp, went to a lot of trouble, a lot of work to try to rescue children and young people, and I could probably count on one hand the ones that are still there. But everybody assumes they went to Sunday school, they rode the bus, they went to camp, they went to church, then they must have saw it. No, they didn't see it because they didn't want to see it. They enjoyed the benefits of being around you, but they didn't want what you had. They wanted the world. They didn't want what you've got. Now they enjoyed the benefits. I took them swimming. I took them to the zoo. I took them to the museum. Well, I say I, my wife, my daughters, those two helped a whole lot while they were car sick the whole time. And we'd take them to camp, and we'd do, and they enjoyed those benefits, but they really didn't see what we were talking about because they didn't want to see it. It's the same way with your children. Don't assume they're saved just because they're doing what you tell them to do, and they're going to church and they're going to Sunday school and they look pretty good and they act pretty good. That doesn't make them saved. Did they see the truth? Did they receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ? If they did, it changed their life, because you can't go from being blind to seeing and people not notice it. Well, preacher, that hurts my feelings. Well, it did mine too. Amen. I've never known surgery that didn't hurt. Amen. We got a doctor and nurse in the house. I asked them how many people said, "Woo, I get to have surgery. Glory to God. They get to cut me up and divide me into pieces. Hallelujah." I avoid it like the plague. But the Word of God, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and the Word of God is powerful enough to raise the dead, certainly it's powerful enough to give you spiritual sight, but there's going to be some surgery through the Word of God before you're going to get your sight. You got to be exposed to the knife, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, he says. Thou dividing asunder both soul and spirit, and no surgery ever feels good, Brother Billy. I don't care how much they deaden it. And by the way, y'all grandparents need to quit deadening it. It hurts to be told you're a sinner and you're lost and you're going to hell without a Savior because you don't know right and you don't know wrong and you don't know heaven from hell, and God has to operate on your soul in order to open your spiritual eyes so you can see it. I thank God He did mine. Boy, I remember I got to where I couldn't sleep without dreaming about it. I'd come home on Sunday morning as a young man, my wife and kids be in the bed, I'd be in work third shift. I'd have to drink 6 beers and watch a preacher preach before I could go to bed. I'd sit there and cry like a baby while that preacher was preaching. Oh, E.J. Daniels was the old preacher's name. Some of you might remember him. A wonderful, fundamental Southern Baptist evangelist back then. And he preached the truths of the Word of God, and I'd sit there and weep and cry. And that old chaplain of Bourbon Street, he'd come on after that. I'd sit there and listen to that big old man preach, and I'd cry till I'd get numb from the alcohol, and then I could go to bed. And boy, then I'd have nightmares about the rapture. That was God doing surgery on me. Amen. Every time I get around a Christian, I'd feel so guilty. I'd feel so low down every time I'd get around Christians. I got where I was defending them. Other people would make fun of the church and make fun of Christianity and say, "Shut up, you don't know nothing about other people." I ain't going to tell you everything. But anyway, listen, blindness, Jude 13. Turn to Jude 13. My goodness, it's 1 minute to 12. The Presbyterians are praying. The Methodists done gone home. Jude 13. The Episcopalians are still having Lord's Supper or something. I don't know what they do. Jude 13. Being blind, I want you to look at this. Look at verse 13. There's only one chapter. That's why I said verse 13. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame. Talking about people. And by the way, these are people that have called themselves Christians, if you read the whole chapter. 2 or 3 verses, really. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, to die blind without receiving the sight of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you die without hope. It's that simple. You can go to that priest who wears a backward collar and got a gown, calls himself father, ain't never been married, I don't know if he has children or not. Today's news, who knows? But I'll tell you this, you can give him all the money you want to, say all the Hail Marys you want to, do all the penance you want to, pray to every one of those statues that you want to, and you'll still go to hell blind into everlasting darkness because you're without hope without the gospel. You can join this church, get baptized, and still spend eternity in darkness without hope. And I know we don't like to talk like that. And as we get closer to the end, it gets worse that people don't want to talk about it. But we've got to talk about it. Somebody's got to turn the light on. Amen. Somebody's got to bring the light. There are people headed to everlasting darkness, and they don't know they're going to darkness. They're blind. Blind people can't see what's coming. And we have the sight, and we need to tell people. Well, preacher, it will offend them. Yes, it will. It did me and you. Thank God it did. Amen. If it doesn't, they're going to say it's just another religion. I'll take that one too. Yeah, they'll say, well, I've already been Episcopal. I've been a Catholic. I've been a Muslim. I've been a Hindu. I've been a Shinto, whatever they call that. And so I guess I'll just become a Baptist too, and I'll believe what you... No, it's one way, one truth, one life, one Savior. Yes. And if you see it any other way, you're seeing it distorted. You need to get your eyes checked. Amen? The Word of God says... through eternity. There's no bringing them back. And then last, I want you to know this, Hebrews 9:27, and so many times people misquote this. Hebrews 9:27, I want you to look at it this time and underline it in the Bible. He says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, I want to correct some misunderstanding theology on this verse. Just because it says it's appointed unto man once to die, the death is the appointment, not the day.
Amen.
A lot of people say, well, they died that day because that was their appointment. No, death is the appointment, not the day. The verse, there is appointed unto man once to die. We all have that appointment. We don't know when it is. But the Bible says you can shorten your life or you can lengthen your life. So let's quit blaming everything on God, okay? Let's blame some things on ourselves. That guy got killed drunk driving. That doesn't mean he had an appointment to die that day. That means he met the appointment because of drunk driving. Amen. My mama's sitting over 99 years old. And she, why would he let her live 99 years and the other guy 35 years because he overdosed on drugs? It's not the day, it's the appointment, and you can shorten your life or you can lengthen your life. Even the Bible tells you that in the commandments. Obey your mother and father in the Lord and your day shall be what? Long on this earth. So quit making excuses for people dying. We don't know when our day... Now, God may choose it to be in a car wreck. He may choose it to be a heart attack or a stroke. But He's not going to choose drugs. And He's not going to choose alcohol. And He's not going to choose shooting each other. That didn't mean that was your day because somebody shot you that you were shooting at. That means you picked that day. Amen? Come on, help me here. We had to... Right now, the past couple of weeks, yesterday was probably one of the worst days of my life. My health is showing my past. My health is showing my past. And it affects you. People in the healthcare business will tell you, your past will catch up with you sooner or later. You can't eat like you want to. Gone. Amen. Well, you can. But your appointment's going to come up pretty quick. Right? You can't drink like you want to. You physically can, but eventually it's going to catch up with you. And we can go into every area of life on that. You can be a race car driver. Yeah. But eventually, you can be a rock star, rap star. You can. But one of them others is going to shoot you pretty soon. Y'all still with me? Y'all want me to quit, don't you?
No, preach on, brother. Preach on.
I started getting all this stuff happening to me. And my wife said, well, I noticed when you started eating all that salt. No compassion. Well, I noticed when you started. But Hebrews 9:27 says we will face judgment. And it will be without an advocate. Now you can be a fool if you want to. You can go to public court and you can stand before the judge and he'll say, who is your attorney? And you can say, I'm my own attorney. And he'll look at the other guy and he'll say, this man's a fool. You can't represent yourself. You're not smart enough in law, but you're not also not intelligent enough to stand before God and think you're going to get it worked out. You're not going to work it out. God's already got it worked out. And you'll accept His, or you won't accept any at all. Either way, you're going to die and go to hell. Well, I wouldn't say it that way. I know you wouldn't. That's why they didn't call you. Look, if you're blind, you've never accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, had your eyes open, and the Bible in another place says you're enlightened, your understanding enlightened, you're blind. And you're headed headlong into death. And you don't know where death is. You don't know how to get there or how to avoid it. You might think you will. All the dieting, all the medications, all the exercise in the world, you're still going to meet that time. I don't know when it is. You don't. You can lengthen it or shorten it, but you're going to die sooner or later unless the rapture happens. And what you are, you're blind and you're driving down the road blind.
Come on now.
How many of you all remember those two ladies we used to have here sing country, gospel type, the Enlighteners?
Blind.
The Enlighteners. Both of them blind, legally blind. And they sing gospel music. Well, one of them got up here one day and said, well, Sister so-and-so was driving the car the other day and she ran into the house. And I sat there and I thought, who was driving the car? Y'all remember that? Frankie was driving and running into the house. And I thought, who gave her the keys? And they're so self-sufficient, I just think she thought, I'd like to know how it feels to sit there and maybe back it out and drive it, you know, straight or something. And she drove it into the house. Now, there's a lot of people that are spiritually blind like that. They really don't know what they're doing, but they think they know what they're doing. And they're blind. And they're driving down life's highway and they don't know where to turn or not to turn. And they need somebody to give them their sight so they can arrive safely. So Jesus comes along one day and he says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I came to give sight to the blind. And they thought he meant physical. And he did that a few times. But that wasn't what he was talking about. Now I have people I love, they're blind. Real Holroyd, they don't even know they're blind. And they're behind the wheel. Some of you might be blind today. And you're behind the wheel and you're driving your own life. And you're going to end up in a wreck. And you better be careful because you get tired of hearing it. Pretty soon God's not going to tell you anymore. And I want to see everybody saved. I don't know anybody want to go to hell. Since I've been saved, before I was saved, I'd tell you to go. And my heart's beat, I'd tell you. But now that I'm saved, I don't want anybody to go to hell. I've had enemies since I've been saved. I wouldn't want them to go to hell. They might want me to go, but I don't want them to go to hell.
Amen.
There's nobody. I've had people treat me worse than a dog. I've had people do all kinds of things to me. And you don't ever want to be treated badly. If you do, you don't want to join the ministry. I'll just tell you that right now. But I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want them to live this life blind. There's so much I can see now. I walked out that day and I could see. The sky was bluer and the trees were greener and people were pretty. And I loved everybody. I felt like that. I said, man, here's the thing we've been singing about. What the world needs now is love, love, love. Here's the thing we've been singing about. I love everybody. I'm going to go hug me a tree, man. I'm so happy. The guilt was gone. The weight was gone. And I could see. I could see spiritually. I could see right from wrong. There was no gray. It was either black or white. I could see love. There was no, I love you. If you love me, I just loved you. Because he opened my eyes and he enlightened my understanding. And now the mind of Christ is in me. And I can see, we sing that song, I can see clearly now. The pain is gone. Ain't that what he's saying? You didn't, the rain, but another part says pain. The rain is gone, then later on he says the pain is gone. Y'all know I knew them songs, did you? I wasn't saved long before I had to forget all them songs. But listen, I want you to know, I want to ask you, have you ever been blind? Have you ever been lost physically? You know, it's a terrible feeling to be spiritually lost. And it's, look, I'll tell you what's worse. I'll tell you what's the worst feeling is to be spiritually lost and not know it. I want to know things. I want to know. I don't want to stumble through this world in the dark. I want to know. I want to know if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I don't want to think so, hope so, maybe so, believe so. I want to know. 1 John 5 says, this is written so you may know that you have eternal life. This life's in his Son, and he that has the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That means he's blind. I want to know. Don't you want to know? Don't you want your children to know? Don't you want your grandchildren to know? Don't you want your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister? Don't you want everybody to know? We sing that song, everybody ought to know. Find that. We'll sing. Everybody ought to know. Don't assume that the people you loved are found just because they ride with you. I don't assume everybody's saved. I assume they're lost until I find out different. I don't run around calling everybody brother and sister because everybody's not brother and sister. That's a cheap way not to witness. It's assume everybody's already saved. You think you've removed responsibility for you helping them to see, and you still have the responsibility. I don't care if you call them brother, sister, cousin, or aunt. You have a responsibility to see that those in you, as for me and my house, will serve the Lord. When I got saved, I told the devil, I said, you ain't having my children. You're not having my children. And now that I've got grandchildren, I've served notice on them. You know, I have my grandchildren. I'll fight, I'll fuss, I'll claw, I'll pull, I'll push. I'll do whatever I got to do to get them out of the dark because it's an eternal dark and it never ends, never ends, never ends. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your word that never changes.